and we're talking with John New Bacon here. And we always talk Michigan football with you, but the professional ranks in Michigan has long since struggled, but it is the team of the state, and I know you definitely reference the Lions here and there. They sit there at 7, and a lot of Detroit Lion fans were disappointed that they didn't draft Tua last year when they actually were ahead of the Dolphins in the draft. They now still need a younger quarterback, as Stafford is getting up there in age. Do you think the Lions look at either a Wilson or a Fields to be their next signal caller?
We got to back it way up here, Luby. I am from the state of Michigan. What is this professional ranks you're talking about? I've heard about them, yes. I've seen them on TV. Dude, I am 56 years old. There's been one playoff victory in my lifetime. Getting mad at the Lions for their incompetence is like getting mad at Canada for being cold. You're asking me a technical question. My guess is Stafford, when you steal some values, gets sold, then you're shopping for a quarterback. But again, people, this is the Lions. You can complain about the Dolphins all you want. We are not listening.
We welcome to the show one of our all-time favorites, the great Mike Westhoff. Michael, Happy New Year. Good to have you on the program again. You have your finger on the pulse of New York City. Of course, we're working with SNY, did a lot of broadcasting up there. Now, we were speculating that Governor Andrew Cuomo had a press conference yesterday where he was blocking deliveries of Velveeta to New York City, an outrageous reaction to the Philadelphia Eagles and the benching of the quarterback in the fourth quarter. Now, I'm thinking from a sporting sense, Mike Westhoff, you probably don't agree with that. But nonetheless, what was your feeling about Peterson yanking his QB and then the subsequent bitching and moaning by the Giants players? And now Joe Judge, very much inflammatory remarks on record, saying that he thought it was despicable what Peterson did.
I kind of like Joe and some of the things that he's done. I think he's done a pretty good job. But this one, he should shut up and take care of his own football team. Find a way to get another victory or two and not worry about what Philadelphia did. To be honest with what, and I like Doug Peterson. You remember, he played for us. For what he did, to be honest with you, I'd fire him.
Really?
Huh. I'd fire him.
Wow.
I really disliked it. I thought that was a poor move. And I listened to him yesterday talk about how, you know, he wanted to give this guy some reps. But give this guy some reps, for crying out loud. I have a 9-year-old grandson that deserves reps more than this guy. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I was the owner, I'd be fuming. I mean, if it were me, I'd fire him. I wouldn't have any problem doing it.
The time.
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to the Defo Show.
You would never say the show is good. Most folks think that you're misunderstood. He thinks he's often right. He thinks he is Defo Light, but it's not so. 'Cause Tuesday blows.
It's Luby Tuesday. Who could hang this name on you? When you disconnect the callers, no one's gonna miss you.
You will never say the reason why. You watch a game as though you are a spy on that little Apple phone, while Shirley's on her throne. You just sit by. You never groan.
Oh no, it's Luby Tuesday.
Musical credits on that, going to Sean Mars and the Superstars, Luby Tuesday. We whipped on that at the beginning of the program, Luby. We had a little technical glitch there.
Sorry, I was so focused on the disaster of last night that I didn't even think about it.
You forgot about Luby Tuesday. You did get together your Luby Tuesday special editorial, yes. Hard-hitting commentary, did you not?
I made sure to do a Luby Tuesday thought. I just forgot about the opener.
Yes, and that was rather unfortunate because already we created hostilities here with the John Feinstein interview about the lovely and talented one who's going to join us later on this hour. And I would imagine it's going to – you ever sensed or been around like just simmering coals when it came to an issue between a couple of people, and it's just as the charcoal was getting – you know, you've been waving something over it for a while, and now you're thinking, man, that's perfect. Hey, Joe, where are the steaks? Put them on now. This fire is getting hot, and Leslie Viss is going to join us around 7:40 this morning, so sometime during this hour, and trying to get to the bottom of what was happening between her and John Feinstein. As we did have a little technical glitch. It's kind of weird. You don't even know what you can say anymore, right? Because you're familiar with my book, Techno Jew.
Yes.
About the fact that I am often my own engineer in these projects, including here. I mean, I wired up the Barefoot Beach Villas Verbal Laboratories, and I would have to say we've had a high percentage of success, no? I mean, we're on the road quite a bit with broadcasts, so it's nothing unusual. And these new setups are just incredible. I mean, people say, well, you're working from home? It sounds like you're right there in the studio. Is that some kind of hint? Am I subliminally resisting the idea of coming back? Oh, my God. But anyway, I was afraid to even mention the book Techno Jew because I was just reading again about this Mike Milbury thing where another guy got canned for an insensitive remark after years. Now, Milbury was a little controversial in people's opinion because he said some things that were borderline outrageous, which is part of the no man's land conflict that we live in here in the broadcasting industry. Because on one hand, people are telling you, you know what, you got to be edgy. You got to get out there. You got to take a stand. And on the other hand, they're saying, well, don't say anything that might offend anybody.
No, they're like, you can offend people, but don't go too far. Like,
what was that you said about the kosher connection? No, you're talking about a deli in Pembroke Pines, and all of a sudden they think that you're insulting Israel. I mean, it's crazy the way this is going. So here's what Milbury, are you familiar with this story with Mike Milbury, the hockey analyst? You know, in hockey, you have to be a little bit, outrageous.
Colorful,
don't
yes.
You don't want some middle-of-the-road hockey guy. Well, you know, if they have the puck in the offensive zone seven times in the first period. You couldn't listen to hockey numerology and analytics and minutia. What could be worse, right? With apologies, I know Red Deer Randy Moeller would never dive into that. I mean, maybe he'll touch on a couple of numbers, but why are you listening to Red Deer Randy Moeller? Because he's going to say, hey, that guy looked like Moose Vasco. He knocked the snot out of him. Anyway, so you want to have colorful guys. I don't know if that was a great example of it, but and Milbury was every bit of that, always controversial. He would say things, which I don't know. I mean, I wasn't familiar enough with the material to know if he was full of crap or not. Some people liked him, some people didn't. He was somewhat controversial. But he said when the NHL was playing in the bubble that one of the things, maybe one of the assets to the players' focus, was that there were no women around. And he portrayed women as being a potential distraction to the central focus and concentration level of these hockey players who were zeroing in on the Stanley Cup. Now, is that really that outrageous? I know. I mean, can people take a joke? I mean, I would imagine the guy's being facetious, no? What do you think, Luby? I mean, is that a fireable statement there where he says, well, you know what, they're playing better because they don't have to deal with these them broads,
so
to speak. He didn't say it like that, though. It seemed like an innocent remark. It really did. And yet at the same time, all of a sudden, some women's group, you know, started bombarding NBC with telephone calls in the negative.
And I'm glad they don't listen to our show because we don't say really risque things, but we will joke around a little bit.
You have to. I mean, please. This is one of the things. This is one of the big problems with the world. Is it not, Mike Luby-Lubitz? I don't want to get too deeply philosophical here, but it really is what I've been saying lately, which is you say tomato, I say tomato, and then we start throwing punches. Right? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, like,
honestly,
people, just want to get into hostile and, you know, very contentious conversations and arguments all the time over virtually everything. It's crazy how this is going. All right, we have many things to discuss here on the show. Notice we dodged the Alabama-Ohio State game. what do we say about that, right? With apologies once again to Scoop Skolnick, I was going to offer up a chance for people to weigh in with five reasons why you despise Nick Saban. The other thing, too, that's embarrassing, and, you know, this was true of Tiger Woods also, where certain people, where the suction when they get involved in an interview exceeds what you would normally expect from whoever it is that's conducting the interview. Not that we don't do our share of suction-oriented interviews here on the show. Would you agree, Luby? I mean, when Saban sits down for an interview, even, and I like Scott Van Pelt, I think he does the best job. It's the most watchable sports center. Gets into some degeneracy and seems to have a lighthearted approach to it.
Yeah.
Not all seriousness. Let's go to Maria Taylor. Maria, what do they have to do? Well, you know what? They got to tuck in the right elbow. Get out of here with that. I want to have some fun. But even Van Pelt, when he had Saban on after a victory, after he'd won his sixth championship in eight tries with Alabama, his seventh overall, and validating and justifying the fact that he melted down the Bear Bryant statue and had it carted off. Didn't he do that? Didn't he take down the Bear statue outside the stadium there in Tuscaloosa? I don't know what they call the Alabama stadium. I probably should. Holy Eli Gold.
Oh, gosh. What is... I know the
probably got some corporate thing, no?
No. College do stadiums don't do that.
Chewing tobacco? What would it be?
Ryan Denny. I know the stadium name.
Don't know. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. We should know, right? But didn't he have the, just like it happened, I think, when, didn't Jimmy have the shoe statue taken into
Bryant
the
Denny
warehouse?
Stadium. Bryant Denny Stadium.
Bryant Denny. And who was Bryant Denny? Was he a lineman with Alabama back in the 50s?
I'm sure if Doe Campbell was somewhat a racist, I'm sure he's someone with questionable past, too.
I don't want to get into that.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Cross into those borders, yeah. All right, Armin Katayan later on his Tiger Woods documentary. You're saying he's a producer. There were other illustrious executive producers, and this is supposed to be... I'm looking forward to it. I love documentaries of this type, and I would imagine anything that Armin Katayan is connected with is going to be dynamite. So he'll join us later on in the program. Harvey Fialkoff, of course, longtime local sports writer here. Everybody loves Harvey. And Brett Tester, the agent of the Stars, in the 8 o'clock hour. And the lovely and talented one coming up right around the corner here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. But I mentioned five reasons to despise Nick Saban. I can think of five, like, very easily off the top of my head. Do we expand that out to 10 so we don't get into some kind of plagiaristic thing? I mean, if Pat Riley could trademark three-peat, you don't think Scoop's got all the rights to five reasons now? Scoop Skolnick?
Yeah. I mean, I think we can use the term. I mean, we're not trying to profit on it.
No, and we're not, you know, stealing like the concept of the website. We're just saying, that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of hatred. Not that it's hatred, but whatever. That's a lot, many things that you find disturbing about Nick Saban, not the least of which, and it always escapes me. What was his wife's name? Karen! Was that it? I don't think so. Something weird. Remember, I mean... Think about this. Did you ever take the water taxi, Luby? This summarizes my whole thing about Nick Saban. And very sanctimonious last night. I mean, did you not think that he was morphing into a little Tony Segretto last night, talking about the development of the kids?
Ha ha! I love that. I love Saban.
I thought I heard Tony saying something in the middle of that interview last night after the game about fresh baked bread. Did you? Did you watch that?
No, I missed that.
He was on with... He was on with Van Pelt after the ball game, and I just had a tough time liking him. But you ever take the water taxi in Fort Lauderdale, Alubi? You ever do that as a romantic interlude? I've done a little bar hopping there. I don't know that it's all it's cranked up to be. It's nice to get out on the water here in South Florida, no matter what the circumstances, no? Would you agree with that, Mike Luby Lewis?
Yeah.
Okay. And you never took the water taxi, and they take you by the house that Wayne bought for Nick Saban and his wife, Melinda, or whatever her name was. And you could not have a more gorgeous location in all of South Florida. I mean, up there, you would literally think that if this was hell, you would want to stay there. I mean, it was that beautiful. It was just absolutely amazing. And she denounces that. See, now this hurt me to the quick because I consider South Florida my hometown now. 40 years here, Luby, is that not fair to feel some kind of genuine unity?
Yes, you've lived here longer than anywhere
with the
else.
Area. I like all the people I know here. I love what happened to my life here. It's just been fantastic. So I have a personal stake in the reputation of South Florida, as Meshuggah as it is. I mean, with all the different things that go on here, I still love it here, right? You go outside on a day like yesterday, you say, hey, thank you, God. That's it. So the denouncing of South Florida by Saban's wife will always stick with me, especially after handed like one of the most luxurious. I mean, you talk about dream house, and they're paying a guy like a ridiculous amount of money at that time by the standard of coaches in the NFL, and she's still bitching, Luby, about South Florida and what a dump this place is.
That's crazy.
That bothered me. That's my number one reason to despise Nick Saban.
Yes, that's
what
top
do you have
five
at the top
me.
Of your list?
That's top five for me.
Yeah.
Number one is the fact that he was bitter about us asking a question that was true. I will never get that one.
Yeah, he was very smarmy about that, was he not? I mean,
yes.
Was it Dave Hyde was telling us that he fired the question at him? And
Dave Hyde talked about it. I remember Dave Hyde talking about it, and I think so. He was
green
one that
slime
asked.
Coming out of his mouth, like he was Kevin Sullivan getting ready to come back from the dark side after a stint.
It was obviously a relevant question. Look, I get Butch Davis lying, fine, because you in his mind he was.
He didn't really lie. He
in his mind he was
going
to stay. And then he got a better offer. So what are you going to do? Nick Saban already knew he was leaving. To then be angry about it, like, come on, man, like that's ridiculous. The way he
it's a tough spot though. That one is a tough spot because it's kind of like if you were going to announce tomorrow that you were leaving the radio station, you couldn't say as the people were asking you, as Barry Jackson was pressing you about your future career plans. You couldn't say, well, tomorrow after I work my last week at 940 Wins, I'm going to be moving over to QAM or something.
Well, but you can do the coach
speak.
I'm just going to focus on the next game. I'm just going to focus on my team. Like, you can do that. Like, you don't have to be a jerk about it. Like, he was angry and he was bitter.
We
and,
still have one game to play here. Yeah, that would have been fine.
Yeah, right? He was a joke
and
about it.
And then I'll address those questions.
That was ridiculous. The way he treated the players, where he walked over the guy who was half passed out, and that's legit.
No, that was
that's
valid.
Legit.
Yeah, the secretary firings were.
Like, that was crazy.
People forget about that. Now, is he a changed man? Because last night he came off, I swear to God, I heard Segretto running right through the whole thing. He was talking about the development of young men, and even his players were mentioning, yes, he's made us better men.
Oh, God, please.
See, I think as the money has escalated out of proportion to anything that you could have ever imagined, the overall financial windfall that college sports has become, I think that whole virtue element has just gone. I mean, it's hard to buy the sincerity. And, like, if Jim Larrañaga says that stuff, I believe it. If Nick Saban says it, do you really buy it, Luby? No. Not for one second. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that. Sorry, Tony. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:21.
Either way, if they can get the right guy to fall, like, could be a coup. So there's a few guys around that area that actually could be really good if they get the right guy, honestly.
It's now time for The Defoe Show.
All right, try it, Luby. Bama. How do you say that? Bama. Is there actually a vowel in there in the beginning? Is there an A in there? Is it just bum it? Not sure. What was that? Howard Schnellenberger on the line?
I just want to mention one time that the way we did it back in the day with the bear, those things will never be eclipsed. And when I recruited Joe Willie, a young man from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, it was a breakthrough for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Everything that Nick Saban is doing, while it's to be respected, really pales in comparison. We should never forget the greatness of one Paul Bear Bryant. He was a mentor to me, kind of a second father to me. I'll never forget the man, and neither should you. So congratulations, Nick. But we'll never forget the bear, and you'll never be anything like that man, I can assure you.
All right, we're coming back with Leslie Visser. There definitely could be some fireworks coming up here. Plus, a major legal conflict of interest. Do we have any lawyers out there that can comment on this? Can one man, Lipschitz, represent both the plaintiff and the defendant in a defamation of character suit? Luby, what would you think on that? You have a fine legal mind. Where's Scott Srebnick on this thing? Where are any of our lawyer friends? All right, coming back with more. Where's Roy Black? I think he listens to the show once in a while. Hey, Roy, what are we doing here? I have to fire Lipschitz. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Louis the Lip, bookie attorney. It's 7:29. Far be it from us to dive into rumor and speculation on this show. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen, where the savings are bountiful this month. If you've been looking for that special used car, look no further. It's time for a certified pre-owned vehicle from Deal Volkswagen. It's like getting a new car without paying the new car price. Deal certified pre-owned vehicles all come with a clean Carfax vehicle history report, great mileage, and better prices. And they're basically selling them wholesale to the public. Jetta models, Passat models, and Tiguan models, all with Volkswagen-backed warranties, enjoy huge savings and no hassle or fuss at Deal. Feast your eyes on the huge selection at Deal and drive away in a like-new vehicle for a lot less. Visit them today, and you'll be like thousands of happy customers that say, it's all about the D-E-E-L. 3601 Bird Road, right near the U. Carfax vehicle history reports are based on information supplied to Carfax. Carfax does not have the complete history of every vehicle. In the world of trade rumors and speculation, you might have to find an element of truth in the now popular concept of fake news. Certainly, sports talk and sports journalism has proliferated many theories and floated many trade rumors that ultimately ended up being baseless and were fostered with no foundation in truth. There's no greater rumor mill generating event than the annual NFL draft, which is laced with conjecture and deception, even from the teams themselves. Often deliberately float misinformation in an effort to keep the rest of the league from figuring out their intentions as they target players they've been locked into on acquiring for years and years and years. Despite all the wild and often fanatical conjecture about what may transpire in any NFL offseason, there are a few beacons of credibility who usually stand out. One would be Chris Mortensen, who is not prone to spewing unsubstantiated hype in an endless ESPN effort to prove that it has broken every sports story since it came into existence. So when Mort suggested there may be something to a trade involving Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson and the Miami Dolphins, it's worthy of at least addressing as if there may be something to it. Watson, 25 years old and coming off his best statistical season in spite of the Texans' 4-12 campaign, has been clear in his disenchantment with the Houston organization. After 3 years starring at Clemson, Watson has demonstrated star stature in 4 years as a pro. He tossed for over 4,800 yards this year, even though Bill O'Brien may have gotten himself fired for trading top receiver DeAndre Hopkins before the year even began. And he is the epitome of the kind of dual-threat quarterback the NFL seems to be evolving towards as it continues moving forward. The price for Miami would apparently be steep. If it was a straight-up deal for current QB Tua Tagovailoa, Watson, even with his weight of the $177 million four-year contract extension he has, would still be a bargain, a no-brainer swap. But if the price tag also includes Miami's two 2021 first-round picks, Chris Greer and company would have to give pause and take the move into closer scrutiny. Miami, ironically, holds Houston's number three overall selection this year, acquired in what looked like a poor deal the team made in dumping Laremy Tunsil. With several QBs with pro potential available, and plug-in left tackle Penei Sewell a likely target in that spot, making a choice there or dealing that selection figure to help the Finns and possibly Tua out immensely. The gamble for the second year in a row thus becomes Tagovailoa. If the team believes we have yet to see the QB's upside and that surrounding him with more high-caliber young players will see his play rise to franchise quarterback levels, then giving up the picks for Watson becomes sketchy. However, if Greer feels Tua may turn into what Ryan Tannehill was to the franchise, then Watson, even with the hefty contract and price tag, might still be the move. Sure makes for interesting speculation based around an event that is still 4 months away. Jeff DeForest with the DeForest Files.
You would never say the show is good. Most folks think that you're misunderstood. He thinks he's often right. He thinks he is default light, but it's not so. 'Cause Tuesday blows.
Luby Tuesday. Oh, the person responsible for a good portion of the lyrics of that song. I don't know that she wants to be identified as that. And this is interesting because she's also been in touch with that sham of an attorney, Louis the Lip Lipschitz. Was there a Lipschitz in everybody's past? We welcome to the program. Welcome back to the show, by the way, people. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby, Lubitz with you. 940 wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app on its fine Tuesday. We welcome to the show NFL Hall of Famer, pioneer in all aspects of women in the field of sports broadcasting, the lovely and talented one herself, Leslie Visser. Leslie, I understand there is possible litigation pending, and how did you get Lipschitz out of my retainer? Did you just offer him like a dollar more, and what was the deal with that?
Well, first of all, Defo, you are always the last to know. Lipschitz has long left you. You haven't heard. He has formed quite a high-powered new law firm with no less than the likes of Marcia Clark and Megyn Kelly.
What, you couldn't get Dershowitz on the phone, so you went with Lipschitz, then the second closest thing?
Well, I think that you and Feinstein, and possibly Luby as a fourth party, I think
yes.
You all should be very careful before you speak, because there is a defamation suit that will be... By the way, Lipschitz can't find you. Where are you?
Barefoot Beach Villas here. Just call Marty Sachs. He knows where I am at all times. So. Now, Feinstein was guilty probably of some fabrications, because we know you to be just the opposite. I don't think you can count the time that you stormed off after you were upset with me for pressing my nose against the Gold Room windows so I could bet the simulcast at the Kentucky Derby that day, which led directly to your very happy and tremendously romantic marriage with the Duke. Who is the Duke okay? Did he peel himself off the mat yet from last night's Ohio State thing, by the way? But you know, I couldn't stand there and bet one track that has races every 45 minutes. I mean, I was dying. But I don't ever know you to have big-timed anybody, and that's what Feinstein, those were the aspersions that were cast your way.
Yes, which, by the way, have already cost me millions in advertising, which will be included in the suit. And my advertisers...
Millions, are we talking about?
Millions.
Millions.
Millions of dollars.
You know. You have no idea. I guess iHeartRadio goes around to London, Paris. I mean, Louis Vuitton has canceled me. No, it's I shouldn't be speaking outside the lawsuit. But I will say this. Feinstein
yes.
has some nerve to say that I have big-timed anybody when I, with my own eyes, was when he was writing Season on the Brink, when Indiana played number 2 Michigan. It was at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. And Feinstein, the writer, was sitting on the Indiana bench rooting for his book. That's right.
Rooting for his book.
I mean, how many have you ever seen a writer? Ask Glenn Robbins. No. Ask Armin Kapan. Have you ever seen a writer sit on the bench?
No, I never have. Maybe Scoop Skolnick. I think Pat Riley was very fond of Scoop Skolnick when he was writing basketball for the Sun Sentinel back in the day. The lovely and talented Leslie Visser with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. What did you make of this thing with Bill Belichick? I kind of had to applaud the move, but people know where I stand politically. I don't want to get too deeply into that, but thought it was interesting because it did seem like the principle of this particular honor had sort of been led in a whole new direction. I mean, we were talking about some hybrid quarterback here where guys like Jim Jordan and Rush Limbaugh were receiving this honor.
Well, I do think that Trump, he started handing them out like Halloween candy. Here's your party gift. But what I think happened is, I think we can all understand why President Trump would want to give it to Belichick. You know, it was a distraction from the last week. And I think that what I didn't understand was why Belichick would accept it. I mean, here is Bill Belichick, who grew up at the Naval Academy, as you know. His dad was there for 34 years as a scout. And at the Naval Academy, they teach you to defend the Constitution. They think that their mission is to protect people from what happened in the Capitol when, you know, protesters are hanging off the Capitol walls like Spider-Man. And I really think... that Belichick, I really think he listened to himself. I'm sure Bob Kraft was in on it, that he had just held all those meetings, you know, the Black Lives meetings with McCourty brothers and all the black players. And I think he knew that this was just a distraction for Trump and that it was just going to be wrong. Wrong for him to, it has nothing to do with things that went before, like, you know, I'm not trying to get into who's worse, yeah, Nancy Pelosi or Trump or Mueller, but once that act happened, I just think there was no way Belichick could accept it.
The lovely and talented Leslie Visser with us here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. What, if any, experience have you had with Nick Saban? And what have you heard and or found out yourself about this guy? Are we to believe that he really is into all this sanctimonious stuff about development of young men? Now, I said this earlier, and I don't know if you would agree with me, that as the money escalated exponentially in college sports, and obviously is very unfairly distributed with the players receiving 0.0, but not to debate that too seriously, but do you find that maybe some of the virtue, like when a coach said this 30 years ago, you tended to believe that, yeah, he's also in this, not just for the salary he's making, but for the development of young men. Do you think that virtue has flown to coop, or do you still see sincerity in that when people like Nick Saban start talking like that after a game?
You know, how bad can
that's
Nick
a very deep
Saban
question,
be?
Huh? I mean, that's something.
But, you know, I think how bad can Nick Saban be when he so seriously took the craft of acting that he completely rewrote his own scene in The Blind Side?
Which he was brilliant, by the way. I mean, you saw a little Dustin Hoffman in there, did you not? When Saban sat down and said, okay, kid, you want to come here or not?
Well, that just shows anything he does, he wants it done in the right way, a.k.a. his way. But one thing I will say about Nick Saban, just on a coaching that I thought of last night when we were watching the game, is that, I mean, imagine most programs, but when Alabama went, what'd they go, Luby, 2 years without, what were the 13, 12, 13, didn't they go like 2 years without winning?
Yeah, they won, I think, 2017, I think, was the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they didn't win it, I think Saban, I think he really started to open up the offense. You know, the spread offense now is what everybody plays. But I think he looked at it like, okay, there's Joe Burrow, there's Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, he so opened it up that a receiver won the Heisman Trophy. So I think he just didn't settle into one way of coaching. And I guess it would pain you, right, to acknowledge that.
Did you have to use any ammonia caps or adrenaline chloride on a Duke last night? Because that was a Tex-Cobb beating that Ohio State suffered. And I know a lot of people are trying to make the case that maybe Ohio State was going to be competitive in this game. And Bama just squashed him like a grape, already installed as number one next year. And, you know, we're also seeing where, you know, it's the same 3-4 teams now that are just in the loop there for the national championship. And everybody else is essentially out, which is a weird development for the game.
Yeah, going to the, well, first of all, the Duke did, he took off his eye black at halftime. It looked like he was going in.
He took
right
off that Lance Krenzel jersey he was wearing.
Oh, my God, and he's texting all his friends, you know, from Columbus, and even Eddie George, we were texting Eddie George. I mean, it was wild.
Wow.
But I think that going back to that spread offense, I think it's going to be even tougher for the smaller schools because now it's going to be your 3-star athlete at the smaller school against the 5-star athletes at those same schools. I mean, you could probably say right now, Clemson's going to win the ACC next year, Alabama or LSU is going to win the SEC, Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten. So what do you think they have to do?
It's nuts. You know, it seems like it's a very narrow path there. I almost want to bring back the voting, but this was a very difficult season to judge, and there was criticism about Ohio State and maybe the principles of the Big Ten, if those two words can be used in the same association. But they went and turned around, and I guess we did have the best matchup for Nick Saban to now surpass the Bear. Can you believe that? In terms of national championships, inconceivable.
I've told you, I got to know the Bear a little bit. I was the first woman ever in Bear's locker room. I think I told you this. He stood at the door and he said, "There's naked boys in there, but I don't give a damn." And then
is that going to be in the book? I hope that's in the book, and you can out Feinstein while you're at it too for whatever it is that you have on him.
Oh, and by the way, Feinstein, since you brought him up again, you know, which has just given me a migraine. I remember another time they made Season on the Brink into a movie, which I guess you didn't see, and it was filmed in Manitoba. And I went once to one of the days of shooting, and there was Feinstein with Brian Dennehy, right, who played Bob Knight, completely ignoring me. Now, is that a lot of crime? Really, really, completely, like, who? Like, I just happened to be in Manitoba.
I think even Lipschitz can win this case for you. I really do believe that. You know, he hasn't won a case in years.
I wasn't going to hang up on you, but you know what? You brought Feinstein back. It upsets me. I just want you guys to know, this is forever going to impact the way you and Feinstein and Luby are judged. Goodbye.
I didn't even get to, like, any of my key questions.
I had a question, too, actually. I was going to ask her about Tua. She knows NFL more than anyone. I wanted her Tua take.
That was like a walk-off on a Gordon Sully interview, wasn't it? I mean, where... The fabulous Malenko.
Yeah, told me I'm not going to hang up. I'm like, all right, challenge accepted.
I had to open up a big mouth and bring Feinstein back in, right? Who, the great Peter Leonard claims, and I would believe him, that Feinstein played high school baseball and was a good player at Peter Leonard's high school, where Peter Leonard was a Ken Hubbs type of second baseman and widely respected around all of the jurisdictions in which that team played. Incredible, huh? So Feinstein, a teammate of radio legend Peter Leonard. All right, we'll come back with more. I'll try and grab some of your telephone calls here on the show. Bama does it last night, 52-24 over Ohio State, an annihilation. Devontae Smith, now a small receiver, right? Luby, does he fit the bill there on the other side? I mean, is he going to get that wide open? This guy could do a little bit of everything, huh? You like the razzle-dazzle when he gets his hands on the football, Luby? How about a little razzle-dazzle there, Luby? No? I mean, they found a million ways to use him. Also, Sarkisian. No wonder he got a head coaching job. Coming up with raw, pure genius. All right, so we'll come back with more. We still have the speculation there on the Tua trade. You're against it 1,000%, right? Is that your
I'm against what it would take to get Deshaun Watson. Yes, if you can get Deshaun Watson for some schmanky trade, yes, I'm not stupid. The kid's 25 years old. And he's a top five, top 10 quarterback, get him. But if you have to give the farm for him, then it's not going to be worth it.
Yes. Is there that much of an upside to Tua Tagovailoa that if you surrounded him with a few more people, as the theory would go, that he would suddenly become a much better quarterback? Is that possible?
For me, you're talking to the wrong person. Yes. I see Tua in a few years being where Deshaun Watson is now. I think Tua will be special. I just think he needs a little bit of help because he was playing with practice squad players. Like, I don't give a damn who the quarterback was. They would have looked just like that with what the Dolphins gave him.
I hate to go Monty Stratton story on you, referencing an old movie from Rain Out Theaters that I watched when I was a Yankee fan back in the days, and they were on WPIX in the daytime. The game would get washed out, and you'd see those Jimmy Stewart movies. But the Monty Stratton story, one of the classics, right? I mean, what if the scout looked at you, and the story goes, the guy has a wooden leg, he's trying to make a comeback as a player, and the manager, who everybody loves, Monty Stratton, they're so happy he came back, and they say, I hate to do it, but bunt on him, right? Because winning became more important. Well, what if the scout is whispering to Chris Greer, hey, kid has lost a step? Is that possible, that he's a step slower than he was after this hip injury? Because he didn't run with the same kind of panache that we saw him running with in college, nor does he do it with the same kind of effectiveness. Obviously, I mean, you're comparing him to the best, but Watson averaged almost 5 yards a carry this year. And we all saw what Lamar Jackson was able to do in destroying the Tennessee Titans while they, you know, couldn't get their own offense rolling. But Lamar Jackson, does Tua run in that category?
No, Tua's not that guy.
Kyler Murray?
No, Tua's not a runner. Tua's just athletic. Like, Tua can get out of the pocket and scramble. He's not a runner. He's not supposed to be a runner. He never was a runner.
All right. I thought that was an element in his game. All right, back with, there you go, strike two. No, I'm rooting for the kid. I don't know that I would trade two first-round picks along with Tua for Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure. We'll see what the fans think. back with, if that's even a deal, right? We're speculating on speculation, which is the subject of today's Deal Volkswagen, the Forest Files. And that's why Deal Volkswagen is always on the money, because there's no need to speculate there. They are the best. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
And in the gang. It's 7:54.